These broadcasts are dedicated to the belief that the United States of America was intended to be, and at some time in the future will be, a Christian nation, living and working under the divine laws of the Creator God. I know that sounds visionary, but we are told in several places in God's Word that there would come a time when the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We are told that eventually, on the earth, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess His rule. If we believe the Bible, that the whole world will one day be Christian, then it is obvious that America will be. This is the sixth broadcast on Bible law, on money and economics, and it is possible some listeners are wondering why Pastor Emery spends so much time on the law. Since the many churches pay little attention to God's law, and some actually teach it is no longer applicable in our day. Paul wrote a whole chapter on the relationship of God's law to God's grace, Romans chapter 3, and he summed it up in the last verse, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." So, faith in God through Jesus Christ is what makes us Christians, and that same faith is supposed to establish or exalt God's law. Once we are Christians, our desire to know and obey God's law should be greatly enhanced. And of course, on this program, we not only show the application of that divine principle to individuals, but to the nations. Last week, we discussed God's commandments to Israel, that they were to have just weights and just measures, that they were not to use false balances and false measures to deceive or rob the people. Generally, the nations of Christendom, including America, have established an official and exact system of weights and measures. But the one most important measuring device, money, is not controlled by the government in this manner. Although our Christian founders intended this to be so, and wrote into the Constitution of the United States, "Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof," our Congress does not do so. Actually, the Congress of the United States has not regulated the value of money since 1863, over a century ago. Since about 1864, the privately owned bankers of the United States have controlled both the amount of money or credit available in America and have regulated the value or purchasing power of that money. In 1913, the pre-World War Congress assigned total control of the measure of money to the Federal Reserve Corporation, which is a private business owned by its member banks. Since then, the value of money has, at times, fluctuated very widely, bringing chaos, bankruptcies, and even suicide to people injured by that fluctuation. In recent years, a rapid decrease in the value of our money has wiped out a large percentage of the savings of older retired people, even left some of them destitute and dependent upon relatives, government pensions, and free medicine. God told our forefathers in Israel in Leviticus 19, verse 35, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight or in measure, just balances, just weights, a just ephah and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord." In Deuteronomy 25, verse 13, "Thou shalt not have in thine house divers," or different, "divers measures, a great and a small, but thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shalt thou have." God goes on to say that anyone using different measures is committing unrighteousness and is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Although we are quite diligent in maintaining exact measurements of physical things, and even controlling the actual makeup of foods and manufactured goods, drugs, and so on, we allow the money measure to fluctuate at the whim of the private money lenders. In that realm, we have a false balance, an unjust measure. And God tells us in Proverbs 11, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. In just a few minutes, we will turn to the books of the prophets and the New Testament to see if God foresaw such a thing as the unjust money power ruling over his people and robbing and plundering whole nations with their accursed system of usury and debt. An excellent tract by Dr. J. Franklin Snook titled, America Needs the Divine Law. I consider Brother Snook one of America's best informed Christians on God's laws. And in this 30-page tract, Dr. Snook has written on several subjects. He gives the law, discusses our present problems in that area, and then shows how obedience to the divine standard would correct the problem and eliminate future trouble in that area. He briefly covers the following subjects in this tract: race, capitalism, taxes, monopolies and trusts, farming, criminal law, military service, human health, foreign policy, and war. Every one of these areas is now developing into such chaos and trouble that our nation is on the verge of destruction. The race problem is an especially touchy one. Governments at various levels are hiring and promoting people according to race. Schools are assigning children to schools according to race and busing them there if it is too far to walk. Most Americans may never have heard there are laws governing race in the Bible, but there are. Here in Arizona, several Indian tribes are filing suit in federal courts asking for payment for almost all of the arable land in the state. The Phoenix newspaper recently published a map of the Indian claims. It runs from Prescott, Arizona in the north. It includes all of the Phoenix area and suburbs and the surrounding irrigated lands, then south to include Tucson, then west almost to the Colorado River. The Indians want to be paid in cash for all of that. Then their attorney stated that once that is settled, they will ask for payment for every gallon of water used by the whites since sometime in the 1800s, and they also want most of the water now flowing through Arizona canals to be set aside in the future for Indian use. These are not idle pipe dreams. These are currently being prepared and filed as lawsuits in United States District Courts. In Maine, according to Associated Press of February 28, the United States Justice Department itself will actually file the suit in federal court to take from the whites some 12.5 million acres in Maine and turn it over to the Indians. They also want to collect $300 million from the whites and give that to the Indians as back rent and damages. And of course, the 350,000 whites now living on that land would have to either move off or make some arrangement to rent the homes or lease the farms and factories from the Indians. And by the way, that dividing up of America in an attempt to create several nations of it instead of one is prophesied in the Bible. That is not our subject this month, but God willing, I will get into that sometime in the next few weeks. Recently, the Arizona State Supreme Court handed down a decision that Arizona Indian reservations are sovereign territory and no Arizona state or municipal laws can be enforced on the reservations. State police, county sheriffs, and city police officers are forbidden to go on the Indian reservations to make any arrests for a crime. So already, Indian reservations in Arizona have been declared sovereign territory separate from the United States. The vision George Washington had at Valley Forge in the winter of 1777. George Washington saw three great perils which would come on America: The first vision was the Revolutionary War. Then he saw a vision of the South fighting the North and then being reunited. That was fulfilled in the Civil War. And then Washington saw America grow to the Pacific, become greatly populated, and then invaded from Asia and Africa, and a great battle fought here on this North American continent. He first told that vision a few years after 1777, probably not really understanding what he had seen. But most of it has come to pass, and the last battle is obviously upon us. Now let us turn to some of the passages of Scripture which foretell a great Antichrist system of world rule, and we will see that its control is primarily economic. One well-known prophecy is in Revelation about something called in Revelation 17:5, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Some say this is a great religious system, and it is to some extent, but it is primarily economic. In verse 18, the angel tells John, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." So it doesn't just reign over the churches or over a religious system, but over governments, over the kings of the earth. Chapter 18 reveals Mystery Babylon's economic and world trade status, and its destruction is foretold. Verse 11, "The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." In verse 15, it again tells of the merchants weeping, and describes them as those, quote, "which were made rich by her." In verse 18, we are told they cried. In verse 19, they cried over Babylon's destruction and said, "Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Ships in the sea indicate great world trade. Already today, we have great international cartels, corporations which do business in all nations, whether they be communist or anti-communist. And those multinational trade corporations are either owned or controlled by what we would call banking families, either in America or in Europe. One example, probably better known than others, is the Rockefeller family. Chase Manhattan Bank is owned by them. Its chairman is David Rockefeller. They own large shares in petroleum companies which operate in all nations. During the Vietnam War, those multinational oil companies sold oil products to the United States, to Russia, and to North Vietnam. Their ships in the sea travel in and out of the harbors of the nations which are at war with each other, and they are not molested. During the Vietnam War, ships owned by the multinational conglomerates passed through our Panama Canal on the way to Haiphong in North Vietnam. Our military forces were under orders not to bomb or attack any of those ships, even in the harbor in North Vietnam, while they offloaded military equipment and supplies for the Reds. All were made rich that had ships in the sea. And whatever it is which is described in Revelation 17 apparently has enough control over the kings or the rulers of the earth, even over the presidents of the United States, that they gave orders that those ships were to travel unmolested even in wartime. That is not future. That has already happened, just as written in the Bible. In verse 12, 13, and 16, the merchandise of Mystery Babylon is given, gold and silver and precious stones, fine linen, and right on down through a list of lesser materials, the last being lives and souls of men. No matter that the merchandise of death on those ships owned by the multinational conglomerates would be used to kill hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese, and tens of thousands of Americans, They were protected by the kings of the earth, and the profits were made. That these banking and money-lending institutions operate at will inside of so-called communist countries is becoming more obvious as the years go by. Chase Manhattan Bank has offices in Moscow, as do quite a number of other New York, London, Paris, and Swiss banks, and they lend credit and money to the Red Government of Soviet Russia. The United States Congress was informed that the mighty Red Empire of the USSR is indebted to New York banks to the amount of $38 billion and is raising taxes on its poor and suffering people to make the interest payments. That debt has tripled in the last few years, and some are beginning to question just who runs the Soviet Union. Is it the Red Communist Party, or is it those who advance credit or refuse it? President James A. Garfield wrote, quote, "Whoever controls the volume of money in any country is absolute master of all industry and commerce," end of quote. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22 and verse 7, "The borrower is servant to the lender." The United States of America is in debt to the bankers, and the bankers control the volume of money in America. At last it is being revealed that the Soviet Union is also in debt to the bankers, and the bankers control the volume of money and credit in Russia. Are they the mystery Babylon the Great, which rules over the kings of the earth? Type of society, religion, political system, even war between nations, has no effect on the merchants of the earth. They continue to gather wealth to themselves, whether the people are at peace or at war. Turn with me to Isaiah 10, and here is a prophecy of something that boasts in verse 13 and 14 that it has robbed the treasures of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. Isaiah begins in verse 1. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness, which they have prescribed." Unrighteous decrees are unjust laws, laws which are in opposition to God's righteous law. Verse 2 gives the purpose of their unjust decrees: to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. The banker's unjust system of usury and debt in America has almost destroyed the ability of the people of little talent to survive, except by some method of robbery, either direct or quasi-legal through welfare. Retired people and widows on small incomes are losing their homes and being forced to move in with relatives or into tiny apartments to survive. And the orphans are in government homes used as pawns in the game of government handouts. In verse 5, this oppressor is given a name: "O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation." Oh, it looks as if this oppressor, this Assyrian, is something allowed to exist by God himself. For what purpose? Listen to the next verses. "I will send him," in other words, God sends him, "I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take a spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire in the streets." What is this? Well, quite simply, this is God allowing these Antichrist plunderers to come against God's own people because of their sin, to rob and to plunder them. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, God is rebuking his Israel people for their sin and iniquity. And Isaiah says in verse 22, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled, They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. And we are like that. Millions of our people are losing their life savings, their homes, farms, businesses, because of confiscatory taxes and high interest or usury or outright swindles in land, stocks, and money. In verse 23, he gives the time when this would happen. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Or the margin says, for the after time, the end of the age. Verse 24, Isaiah asks, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? And here is the answer. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Why is America under the economic control of the bankers? Is it only because the moneylenders are so smart and have gotten us into their clutches through debt and usury? No, it is because God has allowed it, because we have sinned against him and refuse to walk in his ways and are not obedient unto his law. Verse 25, therefore he had poured upon him, upon Jacob Israel, upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew it not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. And that is true. We are on fire. We are burned. We are being destroyed by debt, usury, even revolution and war, and we know it not, and we lay it not to heart. God is using the weather, snow, cold, rain in one place, drought and destroyed crops in another, even taking our land from us and giving it to other people. And we see not that the God who controls the wind, the nations, and the universe is speaking to our people. Well, my time is up again. Next week, God willing, we will continue on in Isaiah 10 about the Assyrian, the rod of God's anger, this Antichrist money power, which is allowed to rule over us by God because of our sin. We are his people. We are Israel, and we know it not. We seek not his word. We turn our ears from hearing his law. And the rod of the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Egyptian, and the Antichrist is upon us. You read the rest of Isaiah 10, and we'll discuss it further next week. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.